This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Smarks and Stripes podcast. We cover every bump, every spot, and chat with all the talent around the world of wrestling. Here's your host, Bill Matz, former WWE referee Kevin Keenan, and Eric Golden.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Smarks and Stripes. My name is Bill Matz, and I am joined by the turtle himself, Eric Golden. How are you today?
Stunned and in awe by the recent moves of WWE.
Yeah, I really thought we were going to be doing like kind of a rap show here and like just setting up, leading into Extreme Rules, coming out of Stomping Grounds. Thought we were going to be talking about storylines and stuff.
Well, we kind of are, just differently now.
But we got to lead it off with the news I read right before I left the house today. Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman back in the fold as executives. They're going to be executive directors of Raw and SmackDown. Paul Heyman taking over Monday Night Raw. Eric Bischoff is going to be the head of SmackDown, and he's going to be working directly with Fox when they move over there in October. There is a lot here. First of all, you have to be excited.
Oh, thrilled.
You have to be excited about the possibilities. Everybody knows the creative genius of Paul Heyman.
Absolutely.
He's had his ups and downs with the company. But this all gets to something we're going to get to later in the show. Man, they're feeling AEW. They're feeling their fans' apathy. They are feeling the bad ratings. They are feeling the piss-poor attendance. They are feeling it all. And to their credit, they're at least trying something. This isn't just, well, we're going to keep seeing. This is what works. We're going to keep doing it. Paul Heyman, the fact that Vince McMahon is willing to work with Paul Heyman, a man that he's, like, thrown out of the building multiple times.
Legitimately and on
TV.
Yeah,
like, let's start there. Heyman with Raw, what are your thoughts?
Well, I've been reading about it a lot today, and I've been reading that he's been helping with the Alexa Bliss segments, and obviously Brock Lesnar. And
I love Alexa. I'm a huge Alexa mark.
And obviously, he did a lot with Ronda Rousey, who made her into a pretty respectable on mic performer because she was always
considering
a fine,
how bad she was.
Yeah,
they at least her promos were well written. I can't say that she delivered them well, but
I just hope. And I hope what I read is true. I just hope that Vince is finally understanding that XFL is coming soon, and he already said he wants to take a huge role in that. And he's finally saying, all right, here are these two guys, Paul Heyman in particular, so talking about Raw, that know the business well, that are legitimate Hall of Famers, whatever you want to call them, that are experts in their field, and he's just giving them control.
That's something I am excited about, is he's not bringing in network executives. He's
correct.
Bringing in wrestling people. Now, you can say what you want about Bischoff because he does do things, and that's something I found interesting with how he's going to be involved with SmackDown. Fox is going to be involved.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be like a television show more so than a lot of the ways wrestling on TV is portrayed, and Eric Bischoff has intimate knowledge of that setup. When
Absolutely.
He was working, when he was running WCW, that's how WCW was run. It was through Turner Media. It was a television show on their station.
And it was entertaining.
And it was, he did a damn good job for a little while. It's crazy to think it had to get to this point. But we saw it in the past. We saw it during the Monday Night Wars. It had to get, we might lose everything before Vince was willing to go, you know what, a tax collector and a dentist might not be our best heels.
I mean, did you see the pictures of Stomping Ground? Like,
empty.
What was blacked out? Like, it was not only audibly empty, there was no reaction to anything. It was visually empty.
Do you think this... Let's just go with Heyman here, because we know Heyman more on the creative side.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this changes things?
I think it changes things to a point. I'm not going to say it's going to change everything and it's going to be the old product that we love and we've grown up with, but it changes things enough to see an impact. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know who Heyman likes and who Heyman dislikes and what, like, we just can't have another 6 months of the same matches over and over again.
Oh, that was the thing I wanted to get to with Stomping Grounds and setting up Extreme Rules. So we're just running it back?
Essentially.
We're the Sixers. We're just like, we're going to add Samoa Joe, and that's it. And we're gonna go for, like, I am excited at the possibilities of this. And it's two guys. Heyman works for the company, but it's two guys with enough of an outside perspective who see what is wrong with the product. Because we can sit here on the show week after week and just go, give me stories, give me characters. And they can just go, you know what, we're going to give it 2 out of 3 falls matches. What the hell is up with all these 2 out of 3 falls matches?
It seems that it's something so they don't have wrestling during commercials, but I don't care anymore about a 2 or 3 out of 4 falls match. Especially a generic random one.
I honestly, if they were to tell me all of our TV matches are going to be 2 out of 3 falls, and then we're going to set up pay-per-views as, those are sudden death. There's something to do it, but it just seems so random that we're suddenly just Shane McMahon's going to go, this is a 2 out of 3 falls match. Oh, and so's that one over there, too. Like, they're just going to throw them at, explain it to me like I'm an idiot.
I'll even
tell
give
me
it to
this
Shane.
Is what we're doing.
If Shane does it in his stuff with McIntyre and with Corbin and whatever Shane's involved with him and the whole Roman Reigns nonsense, I'll give you that. Oh, I just lost. You know what? Bleep that. It's a 2 out of 3 falls match. I didn't lose.
Just,
that's fine.
Like,
just going, this one's 2.
Explain it in literally any way. Like, set up a story. Just say this is going to be our... literally just tell me why. I don't care what the reason is.
Yeah, just don't
do
it.
You could come on TV and say the reason is Vince McMahon woke up this morning and he likes 2 out of 3 falls matches. And that would at least be a damn explanation.
Yeah, instead of just, here's one, here's one, here's one, here's one, here's one.
Accept it. But let's get back to this. Just this idea that WWE is feeling something. Maybe it's just a coincidence that AEW is right around the corner. You know, they're having their pay-per-views. The TV on TNT is going to start
Wednesday
in the fall.
Dynamite or whatever.
Yeah, it's going to start in the fall. But it just does, it seems like too much that they're doing all of this to be a coincidence. Of course, this Saturday we have Fyter Fest. It's going to be streaming live on Bleacher Report. That's a pretty big deal. Saturday, July 13th, however, the night before Extreme Rules right here in Philly, there's going to be another AEW event. It's Fight for the Fallen, and it does sound like a Transformers movie. It's some sort of charity event. But it's going to run the same night as Evolve's 10th anniversary show, which will be right here in Philly the night before Extreme Rules at the 2300. And WWE decided, we're going to put Evolve's 10th anniversary show on the network. Now, they've been they've had this working relationship with Evolve. They take a lot of, they have a talent share thing with Gabe Sapolsky, and they've been going back and forth on different ways to promote Evolve. NXT guys are on there all the time. Now they're just going to put it on the network opposing AEW.
Damn right.
Again, you could say this is a coincidence.
Oh, it's absolutely
not. But it is not.
But it's absolutely what they should do.
I have no problem with it, but it does... It stokes the fire a little.
Sure.
It absolutely stokes the fire, and it's now a question of how many of the people who have the network like you and I who are interested in AEW are going to spend the money again. It's now going to be about, let's see if people are willing to spend the money, if there's some sort of alternative, because we know you already have the network. That's no matter how much you can, oh no, AEW, we know you got the network, man. You're a wrestling fan. This is where all the wrestling ever lives. Like, it'd be dumb not to.
It's the Netflix of wrestling. It's every match from my childhood. It's every novelty show they put on. It's every everything. Absolutely, I have it.
But couple this with the Seth Rollins stuff.
Love it.
I love it. I love it for a bit. First of all, I just don't think, like, Will Ospreay, just not my cup of tea.
Who?
Just not. He puts on interesting athletic matches, but... It's not my thing.
It's a spot fest. Great. You could do a thousand flips. That's awesome.
Yeah,
Can you tell a story? Can you be entertaining? Yeah.
And Seth falls into that sometimes. He can tell a story. He gets a little ahead of him. He gets a little crazy with the spots at times.
Oh, of course.
Seth, I do believe, right now, probably is the best.
And
there is something to being the guy in WWE. It's not just about the platform, but the platform does matter. But there is something to the WWE schedule. No one else runs like the top guy in WWE.
Correct.
And does he need to say it, though?
See, when this all started, and actually Jericho kind of broke the fourth wall, so to speak, the other day when he told people he was just kind of kidding around and he still likes WWE and all that kind of stuff. When this all started, I'm all for it. I'm all for people saying, I'm the best, our company's the best, I don't give a crap what you think, this is how it's going to work. And that's great. Like, please talk it up. We work here at WIP. I'm very proud to work at WIP. In my mind, WIP is the best, period. You don't have to agree with me, but that's my mind, that's my opinion. And I will shout it from the rooftops if I have to. So let them talk back and forth. It's fine
by me. I have no problem with it. But I do, like, part of me thinks... Seth knows that when he gets into it with someone else, whether it be a Will Ospreay or whoever, something about AEW, whatever, Seth has the platform of top guy in WWE. And part of me thinks, as just one of the boys, Seth knows it's good to give spotlight to the other guys, even though it's not great for WWE, even though it's not great for Vince McMahon, because it doesn't matter to WWE. I think Seth knows that it's good for everybody if they get a bit of a spotlight, and underground guys, whatever, guys from other promotions, whether it's AEW or somewhere else, I think Seth, in the back of his mind, is kind of doing this for all the boys. Whether it's starting Twitter beef and making a fool of himself, or he thinks he's sticking up for his company, I think there's something. I think there, it's multiple levels here.
Well, because like you wrote in our outline, it's good because, listen, I've heard of Will Ospreay. I'm not going to pretend I haven't. I was joking earlier when I said who. But I haven't seen his matches more than just a few highlights on YouTube or Twitter. But this made me want to go look at his matches. Like, all right, dude, you tell me you're the best? Let me go see why you're the best. That's good. That's great for the wrestling industry.
Yeah.
Competition is good or great for any industry.
And that's if one person looks up anyone and on YouTube and becomes a fan of them and finds the promotion they're in and then goes on, and like that's how I discovered Ring of Honor because of CM Punk. His name got big and he was a big free agent. I went back and watched those matches with Samoa Joe. Boom, I was a Ring of Honor fan at 16 years old. Like that's how it happened.
Exactly.
And that's what I hope. Like, part of me thinks Seth is just kind of like, I'm the top guy in WWE, and I'm going to swing that around. Part of me thinks he knows that this is good for everybody. There being competition is good for everybody. And if he has to play the heel on the internet to make to build the competition up. I think he's willing to do that, and I think that's a great business move for all the boys.
So Ospreay retweeted a picture the other day, too, while this was going on. And this is just per the guy who tweeted it to him. So this isn't definitely true, but it's interesting and it's possible. Evidently, Seth was at a blank show, whatever it was, hiding behind like the backstage area.
We know
looking
he does that.
At a Ospreay Ricochet match.
Yeah.
As Seth happens to congratulate Ricochet and he's fighting with Ospreay. He's like, oh, I'm watching the match. He was there. I didn't know he was there. But that's great. Like, so he could be friends with these guys. Who the hell knows?
And that's
it's still great for the business.
And that's I remember the stories back in the day of Bischoff tells him on his podcast, like, they all live in the same places, like whether it's Atlanta or Florida, like they're all coming out of the same hubs. They run into each other at airports all the time. Yes, WWF and WCW, the companies are locked in this battle. But the boys are the boys. They've all worked in both and know each other. And while it is, hey, I'm fighting for my livelihood, they are still friends. And they, like, it's just like sports, man. Like, we're watching the Mets and the Phillies, and they play against each other.
But they know each other.
But some of these guys go out to dinner. Like,
well, just talk about our business that we're in now.
Yeah.
Our midday show is comprised of somebody that came from our former competition. That's how it works.
Yeah.
And now I'm sure he's got friends where he used to work. I'm sure he's got friends where he works now.
We run into these people. It's not.
We see these people all the time.
We go to events. We cover the same
thing.
Exactly. We see these people. We're not enemies. And I think that's kind of the case here.
Absolutely.
We
all want to win. We all want to make sure our product is a number one. But we do run into these people, and we are social and sometimes friends with these people.
And I think there are two sides to by giving them any sort of shine, it's good for the business. And what's good for the business is good for everybody at the end of the day. The more wrestling
Seth
fans
is
there
here,
are, yeah.
Or whether Seth is in AEW or whether Seth is in Ring of Honor, wherever he is, Seth wants those fans to support him and those companies.
But this is, like, whether it's, oh man, Vince is feeling it. He's bringing in. I'm not going to say they're in direct competition with ECW.
No, but
at
some
point
but they were still there, competition.
Two guys who ran the only two companies that have ever been close to what he was. And he is now, they are not characters. That's the thing, is Bischoff, before when he was back, only an on-screen character. Yep. He is now running SmackDown, which just signed a $1 billion deal.
And in theory, he could be a character again at some point.
Oh, sure, and I'm sure he will be,
like
because
Brock,
that's what
like
happens.
Brock and Paul will still be connected at some point. But Paul is now directing what he does.
That's the thing. Like, Paul comes in and he's just Brock's guy, and that's it. And little by little gets some creative influence because that's what Paul does. And listen, yes, he can be a real pain. We all know. Like, we've all heard what he is to work with, and it can suck. But you can't argue that when he was running SmackDown, SmackDown was objectively awesome
We wanted a better product.
Yeah.
We wanted a better show. We wanted a more entertaining show.
Paul Heyman can deliver that.
That's one. And all we can ask for is change.
Yeah.
So seemingly, and obviously everybody reports to Vince, just like
of course.
Everybody here reports to David Field, who was our uber top-of-the-line boss.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that David Field is telling me in particularly what to do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. No,
I come in, he trusts me to do my job.
Yeah.
He doesn't schedule smarts and stripes. He doesn't tell me exactly how to do my job. He trusts that we all, you, me, every one of our hosts on the air, to do their job. And that's the making of a great boss.
Yeah. And I really hope that Vince is starting to get it. And I think with the XFL, because that is, pun intended, the X factor here.
Yeah.
If he's going to be so involved, this is what happened last time. He was stretched so thin with the XFL,
mm-hmm.
that, and then they were getting WWE Studios off the ground at that time. It was just so many things. The wrestling product suffered. And he can't let that happen again.
And he's
again.
Been noted to say he wants a big role in the XFL again.
Yeah, and that's fine. If you really think that this is something that you can get going, cool. But let Paul and Eric do their thing. And that's what I want to get to now is the product. You know what the worst part of Stomping... And I've said this before. You know what the worst part of Stomping Grounds was?
Hmm.
It was a good show. It was a good, enjoyable wrestling pay-per-view. It was a wrestling show.
I shockingly even liked Corbin Seth.
Yeah!
It wasn't bad.
That's one of the worst parts about Corbin is he's in this spot that he just can't be in right now because he's good. Yeah. He's not great, but he's good. It might have been Jericho talking about Samoa Joe. Just flip him and Corbin. If Corbin is doing what he does with the U.S. title,
yep.
And Samoa Joe is this dick heel at the top of the card, we have a good wrestling show. Who wouldn't want to see Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe? I know I do.
Because it's not more of the same.
Ricochet was awesome.
It was. And that's a simple fact. It's not more of the same.
Yeah.
I don't need to see Baron Corbin wrestle Seth Rollins again and again and again and again and again. And listen, I get that these things build up storylines. I get that you have to have 3, 4, 5, even 10 matches to make a storyline good, to make a major payoff happen. But this is probably like the 25th time in the last year and a half that Baron Corbin's been going for the damn Universal title with Seth Rollins involved. Like, just stop.
Yeah, these two, and it's just, and they had a good match. How long did they go? Where's that match? 18:25, it was good.
It didn't even, I love
I'm
matches.
I'm not going to tell you they tore the house down.
No.
But it was good.
But I love matches. Here's the thing. I don't like the Iron Man matches because they make me anticipate a long, drawn-out thing. I like a match that's, even if it goes 60, even if it
that's,
goes 90.
I want a long match just a long match.
And it doesn't
I don't
feel
need
like
two out
a
of three.
Match.
I don't need 30, 60 minutes.
Let them just go. Don't tell me, oh, this is a 60-minute Iron Man match, and now I'm going to see 12 rest stops throughout the entire match. Like, no, just let them go. It didn't feel like 18 minutes to me. It felt like an exciting... Wow, what's happening next? I can't know what's going on.
I am in the process. We'll have some sort of Extreme Rules presence. It's here. We do this. I'm going
to
be there at least. I don't know what you're playing
plan
as Turtle.
I plan to be there.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out for sure.
This mixed tag match for the Raw and women's title and the Universe. It's Seth and it's his girlfriend. They're making sure to let us know they're dating, Becky Lynch, and they're putting both their titles on the line
in a winner take all match.
In a winner take all match, mixed tag against Lacey again, who's lost clean twice in a row.
Yes,
and Baron Corbin. Turtle, I don't want to crap all over the product.
But
this match
easy.
Is going to get booed out of the building.
Yes.
This is going to be Roman Reigns at the Rumble all over again.
Yes.
Like, I don't agree with CM Punk chance just because, like, listen, CM Punk is one of my favorites of all time.
But he's gone.
But he quit.
It's over.
He quit and he hates us. It's over.
And he said that on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, people have kept bothering about wrestling. He's like, dude, then stop freaking watching wrestling if you think it sucks.
Yeah. He quit and he hates us. It's over. But there are going to be CM Punk chants, and I'm not even going to boo those as I always do. This is going to get booed out of the building.
It's so many factors to this match, aside from the same.
Who won the King of the Ring 95
thing.
Here when ECW was taken off? It was God damn it.
Shoot.
I can't think.
We'll think of it. We'll figure it out as we go.
Viscera. Whoever Viscera was.
But there is so many factors to why this is a bad idea. One major one being, it's Baron Corbin, Seth Rollins, again. It's Lacey Evans, Becky Lynch, again.
The Lacey thing.
She's not ready. She's just not ready.
And she's lost clean twice in a row. What is the point of this?
There is no point
of
it.
There's no story here.
It was to the
she
point.
She lost.
At Stomping Grounds, where you literally have to hear Becky say, come closer.
Yeah, that was...
The one, whatever spot she did early on, which was going, Becky was going off the top, and Lacey was just so far back.
And you
back.
Heard her call a reversal on that, and there was a one.
She's just not ready.
I have patience for Lacey. I don't think she's that bad, but her... Why? We have so many women. There are so many good women.
Because Vince gets it in his mind that... The champion or the main challenger has to look and act and be a certain way, and she fits all those boxes. She does. It's just true. Lacey Evans is going to be a great performer, I think, in the ring. Out of the ring, she's outstanding. She's solid on the mic. Her gimmick is unbelievable.
That's the issue here is whatever you feel about Corbin and whatever you feel about Lacey, they can talk.
Yes.
And that, at the end of the day, they want that. They her want you to, and they want a heel.
Amazing.
Yeah, they want the heel to be able to cut that promo and make you hate them so that the face can beat them. And I understand that from a booking perspective.
But just pick but somebody
we're spinning
new,
our
please.
Wheels here, man. This is another. And not to mention just the idea of a mixed tag match with two singles titles on the line is some Vince Russo and WCW nonsense.
Yep.
Like, just the match format itself sucks. And then you put the story in, oh, well, yeah, this is these people that keep losing clean, like they don't belong. It's just dumb. It's like, I'm glad Samoa Joe's getting a shot now with Kofi.
But
that's
just
awesome.
As dumb.
But yeah, he loses the United States title.
Decides to attack the champion. Oh, here you go, title shot.
Now that's just how you get your title, because Ziggler did it.
Yep.
Gets his title shots. Just attacks Kofi, so he gets his. And now Samoa Joe, I attacks the champ, so I'm the number one contender.
Can I say so?
Like, there's just no continuity or just story to story.
Which
is
why
it is very clear there's no long term plan. Like, that's something you hear about when you hear the guys who've booked shows in the past, the two guys who are going to be taking over Raw and SmackDown now. Like, at this point in the calendar, we should be heading into SummerSlam, and SummerSlam, there should be something that's going to get us to WrestleMania. Like, Stone Cold should be beating The Undertaker, and he's on his road to WrestleMania. Like, that's what this should be.
And by the way, just as another side note, the hell about Stomping Grounds was annoying to me. As well, it was a good show. Was this, like, Survivor Series already? Another co-branded pay-per-view?
Well, the brand
wild
split is over.
Stop saying Wild Card!
Yeah, just stop now. The brand split is absolutely dead. A couple of matches I just wanted to get your thoughts on from Stomping Grounds real fast. Daniel Bryan and Rowan against Heavy Machinery. I know Heavy Machinery is decent. That was a really good tag match.
It really was.
I was shocked by how good that match was. Like, yes, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn against The New Day. No shock there. That's four good guys.
Yeah.
I know Heavy Machinery is good. That was a very good match.
I very much agree. Heavy Machinery hasn't been around that long. So a lot of people, a lot of the WWE faithful, don't really know who the hell they are.
Yeah.
And it was just a good match.
And you get the, because you know Vince just looks at him and laughs his ass off, so you get that vibe from them right away. But then you watch them and they're good. They're good. I like tag teams like this.
I would love to see Heavy Machinery in time, and we'd only want it once or twice. Please, WWE, once or twice. Go up against the Viking Raider Experience Warriors, whatever the hell they're called.
That was my question though. Where the hell are they?
Well, they were at Raw.
Yeah, like what?
Just out of the blue.
How are these guys just like now? They're just beating Gallows and Anderson as a part of this Gallows and Anderson break them down to build them back up storyline or something.
Yeah, are they staying now? Is that what it is? Like, you're teasing another club reunion.
Yeah, I think this is
not.
Yeah,
because do you think they're gone?
That's because in my mind, I fantasy book everything, and then I'm disappointed because it's never as cool as the thing in my head. To me, this is like building towards an AJ heel turn. Like, he's feuding with them, and then it's all going to be a big schmoz, and it's actually AJ's a bad guy, and this was all a setup.
I would love that.
Yeah.
But aren't they gone, though? I thought they were gone by the end of the summer. Everybody's signing 10-year deals now or
something.
And
everyone, they apparently have no problem putting people on TV when they're on their way out anymore.
Clearly.
So I have no idea. Like, they have a storyline. It's one thing if they're just on TV losing. But they're in a storyline with AJ Styles,
who's not leaving.
Three top guys.
And he just signed a new deal.
He just signed, like, a 5-year deal or something. So, like, I have no idea. The Kofi-Dolph cage match. I hate, just because cage matches aren't booked all that well, this one actually did have a decent story to it, so it was like, this makes sense here. We have Woods, interfering in the Super Showdown match, and we have all sorts of reasons. There's actually a reason to be using a cage here. The escapes are always stupid. This one was great, and it was realistic. That's what I loved about it.
It was everything that a Dolph Ziggler match should be, because he's, while annoying as all hell, especially with his, I'm here, I'm not here, I'm taking a sabbatical, I'm not here, I'm back, I'm here again. He's good at the reaction. He's good at getting heat or getting love, whatever mood he's in. And that finish, I mean, I love the finish with just Kofi just saying,
oh my God, and it's such a Kofi
dive,
finish. Like,
I'm going to win.
The whole thing worked.
Absolutely.
That's what I loved about it. Like, that is such a Kofi finish.
And speaking of cage matches, not to divert from anything real quick, But Shayna Baszler, Io Shirai on NXT Cage. Did you see that yet?
I have not seen it yet. I'm a little behind on NXT.
Oh,
gotta catch up.
My God.
Oh, that's... that.
It was...
Like, I love Shayna.
Pay-per-view main event worthy.
Now that Ronda's gone, I think there's a real spot for
Shayna. Somebody
for
who
Shayna
actually
Baszler.
Is here consistently and wants to win. And
so, just looking ahead to Extreme Rules now, it's a few weeks away, but I want to talk about it because it's geez, honestly. 205 Live's starting to grow on me. It really is. Yeah. Like part of it is I dig Drew Gulak. He's that kind of wrestler. Like I want a Dean Malenko. Yeah, and he's
Coach
a Philly
champ.
Guy. He thinks Kensington's in South Philly, but whatever.
He doesn't really know everything anymore.
Yeah, I'll let it go. He's still a Philly guy. So we have Gulak, Tony Nese for the Gulak won the cruiserweight at the last pre-show. That'll probably be on the pre-show again.
Absolutely.
But maybe not because it's in Philly. Maybe it gets a little bit of that rub.
Maybe.
We get Bayley Alexa again. Who knows what kind of gimmick that'll be. We have Kofi, Samoa Joe. I really thought that that was going to end up being the triple threat. I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, it might still be. But I'm really looking forward to Samoa Joe getting a title match here. I love Samoa Joe.
I'm a fan.
Again, like that's... I found out about those Joe Punk matches, and I wanted to see him because of Punk. Watched him, and those two are free agents at the same time. Like, Joe goes to TNA, has the career he had. Every time I see Samoa Joe in a WWE pay-per-view, I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
This is actually something happening.
It's just...
He's not Umaga.
He
actually gets to be Samoa Joe.
He gets to be his guy. He gets to be who he is. He's a plus-sized athlete that can do
and that's him,
unbelievable things.
Him, Kevin Owens... I look at these guys and I'm just like, yeah, bro, hold it down for the big guys.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel like you see the same thing.
Because it's just, the reason I liked wrestling to begin with when I was younger was to see the pretty girls, obviously, and to see these strong dudes throw guys all over the head. But as I grow up, it's good to see that, and because you learn, the world is different.
Yeah.
The world is
doing
a big
Daddy Graham show the other night.
We're talking
about wrestling and stuff. He's just like, so who's the Sable now? It's like, big, the world has changed. It is not like that anymore. you're telling me about this women's cage match that I'm legitimately going to go home and watch right now.
You need to watch it. Yeah. Was it the best thing in the world? No, of course not, because they're still both developing.
Yeah.
Was it unbelievable for the two people there? Like, I'll spoil it a smidge for you. I'm not going to tell you the outcome. But Io Shirai doing her moonsault off the top of the cage.
That's awesome.
Is freaking amazing.
All right. We talked about the back to Extreme Rules, just real quick to wrap it up. We talked about the mixed tag. I think that's going to get booed out of the building.
Ugh.
Something that isn't going to get booed, but is not going to be good. Roman Reigns and The Undertaker versus Drew McIntyre and Shane McMahon.
So, I have a pro and con with this. I popped unbelievably when he came back.
And then
I
as soon the as the lights as when the gong hit and the lights went out, I was like, ooh. And then as soon as the lights came back on and I could see him, I was like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He is a
And then he tries
old.
To choke slam Shane, which clearly Shane did all the work on that.
Yeah.
Then he tries to boot whatever, McIntyre, and then clothesline him out of the ring. I tweeted, please just let him retire.
I guess because Shane's calling it his yard or Drew's calling it his yard, so he's got to.
So the two guys with
Roman
the yard
and
need to
Roman
come
and Undertaker have respect for each other because they're mania. I just let the guy rest in peace.
Please,
he's 150 years old. It's not going to be good. And listen, when we're there,
we're going to pop.
And the lights go out.
I'm going to get excited.
I'm going to be 10 years old again.
Absolutely.
But as soon as the lights come back on and they're wrestling, man, it's going to suck.
The only thing I could hope for with this match, and it's a lot from asking for Mr. Superman punch spear false finish, Superman punch spear finish, is that Roman carries the majority of this, which isn't great. And just you see
the
old school from Undertaker. You see the punches and you see the choke slam and the hopeful tombstone.
Here's the thing: it's Extreme Rules, and they have this thing going with Drew McIntyre. If you were to give me 17 minutes of Drew and Roman just beating the crap out of each other.
I'm
not crazy about this feud. It's whatever. Shane, and that's, again, one of the worst parts of Shane is he's good at what he's doing.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm like, you're 50. go away. You couldn't, like, you needed Triple H to beat X-Pac at WrestleMania 15, and now you're going to be a grandfather soon, and you're legitimately dominating Roman Reigns. Like, you're having WrestleMania matches with The Undertaker. This is just blowing my mind.
I read something earlier today that the long-term plan, which obviously we know never works out with WWE.
The long-term plan. That's hilarious.
Is for him, being Shane McMahon, to be the eventual person to beat Kofi in Survivor Series, SummerSlam, whatever, for the title. So if that is true, by whatever idiot dirt sheet guy I read it from.
So All Elite Wrestling this Saturday, live on Bleacher Report. Please freaking watch. Please watch. It's free.
I can only hope that Bischoff and
Heyman. Someone has to say something to somebody about this. It's the boss's kid.
You could even put him in a match for the title. That's fine.
Listen, have you watched any? We did the show that the one of our deleted shows. Remember the ECW Untold story?
Oh, yeah.
Have you watched the might be the newest one about the Kurt Angle Shane McMahon match?
No, but I want to. Desperately.
Really good. But there's also an article on Deadspin that's kind of like a companion piece for it, talking about, because the match takes place at Continental Airlines in Jersey, and it's right after Jersey passed this extreme wrestling ban, basically. We all remember SummerSlam 97. They have Christy Whitman out there. They just, finally, the Athletic Commission has nothing to do with wrestling anymore.
Yep.
But extreme wrestling is going to be back under the guise of the Athletic Commission. It's a really cool article to read,
okay. And
a companion piece for this Untold story. Watch it on the network. Pretty cool. But yeah, like Extreme Rules, again, I bet you match for match, there's like one, the mixed tag, I just hate mixed tags because it takes all the psychology out of a tag match.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, this is a decent enough card. But like, yeah, this Bischoff and Heyman thing, it can't get here soon enough.
That it works.
We just need some change. That's
desperately.
Change. Change for the sake of change. I don't even care. Like, I like the 24/7 title.
Yeah.
I do. It's not the 24/7 title that there isn't something cool and entertaining too. It's stupid and entertaining, and wrestling needs stupid and entertaining sometimes. I love the Mean Street Posse. Like, you need dumb.
I like the Spirit Squad.
Yeah, I like the Spirit Squad. Exactly. It's not the comedy bit's fault that the Universal title is on the line in a tag match.
Yeah.
With, like, it's, I legitimately like the 24/7 title. Just
R-Truth and Carmella have been riot
Truth
with this stuff.
Is just, that
Good
dude will do anything.
Good the, for him.
But I will say, like, I'm hearing Moxley's voice in the back of my head, like, they would have him doing this. The crazy guy, ridiculous, not knowing where he is thing.
But here's the very simple...
The same people who wrote R-Truth's material wrote Dean Ambrose's material, and that is a problem.
But here's the difference, though. One person, for now, and this could change when AEW finally gets started, one person for now is still in the top company in the world, probably making a nice chunk of change. One person is now not.
Well,
by his own choice... By the way, Seth Rollins buried it on that thing, too.
They're paying these guys. AEW's paying their top guys. I know that.
Get paid and maybe not be just as exposed.
No, it's not going to... It's national television. I mean, that's the thing at this point. It's not even like they have the ratings or attendance to go on.
Yeah.
Like, they just had, I think, 5,300 people at Raw. Like, it's getting bad over there. And they're finally, hopefully, seeing it. Hopefully, this is the dawn of the next age. Like, we have the guys from the Monday Night Wars. They're hunkering down. They're going to run a show on the network opposed to AEW. They're getting ready to go to war. Whether WWE ever wants to admit it or not, they are getting ready to go to war.
Yeah. And it better work.
I just want to see some good damn wrestling. I don't care. I don't care which company wins. I don't care which company is the better show. I just want to see a good show.
We win no matter what.
Yeah,
that's the only thing.
Like, Evolve is on the network. I've been wanting to see Evolve on the network for a while. It's looked like that's where it's going. Honestly, I was this close to signing up for my 30-day free trial of Impact Plus. I was like, I'll watch AJ Styles and Samoa Joe from 2006 before I watch another episode of Raw because it's been so bad. Hopefully, man.
And by the way, we still need to pay off to Mr. Firefly Funhouse.
Have you seen the background though? Have you seen these? This stuff is popping up in the background.
It's coming.
I'm really like excited, man.
I didn't notice it originally when the first, I think, Miz was walking around, whatever, doing his thing. I didn't notice it originally. I saw the picture. Everyone was like, holy crap.
All right.
It's beginning.
Yeah, that's Miz, and there was Kofi was like in the back getting the bunny.
Yeah.
It was like getting his pancakes. So let's wrap up with that. What do you think the payoff is? Do we get it in Philly? Does it happen at Extreme Rules?
I'm going to say no, only because I'm not that lucky with wrestling events.
Yeah, I know.
But maybe?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say he finally comes back, and it's in this Roman Undertaker match. He's going to start something with Taker.
Good. Do it. But then there's more Undertaker.
Yeah, I know.
I'm all for it because I love Undertaker like I was a kid again, but... Okay,
who's
I'll deal with
cost
it.
Cost a title. He's got to cost someone a title. That's to me what
well,
it
happens. Unless you just get him
a cash
Baron.
I don't know.
Unless you're giving.
I take it back. I have no
Baron
idea.
Baron the belt, which I pray you're not going to do.
You give Baron the belt. I want to hear Brock's music before the three.
Yeah.
Before the freaking.
That's the only
third
way I'll be
count
okay with
is
it.
Made. I want to hear Brock's music.
Well, and in time, Baron Corbin might end up being a good champion. He might. But for now,
I do not
go
doubt
away.
It. But yeah, like The Rock
Change
wasn't ready in 97. You know what when he was ready in 98?
Yeah.
Like I just it's not there yet.
There's
with
a reason I like the Ultimate Brand Split and the redraft and all that stuff is because originally, and Roman's kind of worked his way back to this, so I don't mean to bash him in particular, but I'm going to. I liked it because they sent Roman away. It was
yeah.
a different
and
change.
And he could be the
pace.
King of SmackDown and be something different.
Right. Give me something different. It's not like, yes, you're going to have a Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns Universal title match at WrestleMania next year, the year after, the following year, whatever. That's obviously going to happen. Duh. But just give me time to, let it go away. Then give me time to adjust. Then let it go away again for a minute. And then give it time to adjust. That's why Becky and Charlotte being away from each other.
At least they're away from each other. For now. And that's, if they're going to have a match at Mania, I'm fine with that because it'll be great.
Yeah.
And there is this natural story there. But, like, keep them apart until the Rumble, man.
Like,
keep them apart until the Rumble.
Wait until the next Mania for Charlotte, Becky, too.
Yeah.
Just say, even give us that. No reason at all. Rematch because we feel like it. Do that.
Yeah.
Just keep them away, please.
Yeah, and listen, man, I'm frustrated. But I just feel darkest before dawn right now. I really feel something coming. I feel like
there's
this
a reason they did this. And yes, I saw it took a bunch, like a month or two to get done. But there's a reason they did this.
Yeah.
There's a reason Vince has this going on right
now. Like, we're at WrestleMania 13 right now. Like, okay, we just came out of the worst period. We have some stuff brewing. And we have a couple
and
characters that are really about to take off. And we're about to hit the ground running. That's what I feel.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope so, man.
If not, it'll be a long couple months for Smarks and Stripes.
It's AEW can't get here soon enough. But
we'll
I am going to go
AEW.
Home. Hey, man, that's the beauty of the network. We can turn this into a damn NXT show if we wanted to. And I'm going to go home right now and watch NXT. Turtle, this was a lot of fun.
It absolutely
we haven't
was.
Done this in like a couple weeks, and I've been wanting to get back at it. A lot of things to say. We were all over the place today, but I think that's good. I think we're
all,
both passionate.
It all connects.
I think WWE, AEW, ROH. I think all these things are connected, and I think it's all going to lead to something real good real soon.
Let's hope so.
Turtle, this is a lot of fun. I will see you. I think we'll be back Tuesday, and I think we're going to start doing some of our special episodes next week.
Oh, yeah.
So we got some good stuff brewing. Hopefully there's good stuff brewing in WWE. Remember to watch AEW this Saturday. It's free, damn it. Support it. The only way to vote is with your wallet, and it's not even coming out of your wallet. So support this damn thing. My name is Bill Matz for Turtle. Have a great week, everybody.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Audacy Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.